Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
More than any team I've ever been around. We always say it doesn't always happen on your time. We had to wait a little bit tonight, but that makes it even sweeter. Let's freaking celebrate and let's get
Playoff baseball back in Kansas City. What's going on here on a Monday? It's Cody and Gold. That, of course, was Q, courtesy of Bally Sports. That was Q addressing the team right before the bottles of champagne were popped and the celebration was on. What a Friday night it was. Of course, in the clubhouse, it's kind of weird. They had to wait, an hour and a half maybe or so after the game to find out if they were going to actually clinch a playoff spot down there in Atlanta. And of course, the table is now fully set for playoff baseball right here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. It all starts tomorrow afternoon. Vern's On Deck show gets going at 2 o'clock, and it is all about the Royals, man.
Perfect.
All about the Royals throughout this week, and hopefully it turns into next week as well if they can handle their business out in Baltimore. I hope everybody had a great weekend. How could you not have a good weekend? The Royals clinch on a Friday night. The Chiefs, we're going to get to them throughout the show as well today. They're 4-0. Now, there's some major issues coming out of that game. We'll talk about Rashee Rice and what appears to be a pretty devastating injury for him coming up in just a little bit. But we want to hear from you guys throughout the show as well, always on the Jays Southlands Host Service text line, 913-586-7965. We're also streaming the show on video up on Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, Twitter/X. Anywhere you want to social, you can social.
Please like, subscribe, you know, the things that like you hear coming out of your kids' videos. We need that as well. It all counts towards the same thing.
I couldn't help, though, other than just the joy seeing the celebration from Royals players again for the first time in a decade. I couldn't help but think of still something you and I had brought up heading into this final month. And it was the comment from 2 years ago, September of 2022. At the end of the season, it was like the 22nd, I think, of 21st, 22nd of that year as well. And it was the press conference and ultimately what later we would find would be the transition away from their current general manager, at the time their general manager, I should say, and Dane Moore. But when John Sherman said, hey, that's one thing about a championship, I'd like to see what a wild card team looks like. And here we are, fast forward 2 years later, and this is what a wild card team looks like. And hopefully it ends up being more than just a wild card team. But this is what a wild card team looks like. And it's pretty cool to now look back at those comments from John Sherman. And ultimately, when they decided to hire J.J. Piccolo as the guy in charge.
I want to get used to this in the way that we are used to this with the Chiefs, right? In saying that a Chiefs regular season game doesn't like move the needle or sway my emotions or change those things as much because you're not as beaten by it. You're like, playoffs will be here eventually and we'll kind of come around to it. But because this is it's like seeing a solar eclipse to see the Royals in the postseason. Every time they're in, it feels like this massive story. Oh my God, the Royals are in the postseason. They're back. They could do it. And because the last 10 years of sports fandom has taught me that if any Kansas City-based team goes to a postseason, they just win the whole damn thing. I get kind of greedy when they get there, admittedly. But I think this really comes down to the same thing, which is once they're here, if they could start getting here more regularly, I'd love to come in here on a Monday and still be excited that they're in the postseason, talking about their chances to be in the postseason, but not just telling you how happy I am for them to just physically be there, to actually be there. That's what John Sherman was talking about. Dayton, he said, I remember the clip too, and we could play it here in a minute, but it's just like, Dayton Moore's always talking about what it'd be like to be a World Series team. I'd like to know what it'd be like to be a wild card team. And because they've got that, it feels like we're pacing somewhere. And they've got one of the best stars in baseball, Bobby Witt Jr. They've got one of the best rotations in baseball. So, I can start talking myself into things fairly quick here.
Well, Salvador Perez in postgame on Friday night also was kind of speaking to that a little bit about, that this is wanting these guys to experience this, but this should be what they basically expect going forward and consistently being a playoff team. You got to start somewhere. This is a huge step. And hopefully we see this team go on a little bit of a run as well. And how many times did we discuss, and people would text in as well, hey, the frustrations, the 7-game losing streak, things like that. But also everybody acknowledged one thing. Get this team in the dang playoffs, get them in, and then reset, basically. And with the way this rotation is set up for this particular series, you have to feel good about it. I know we'll have all show today. We'll have all day tomorrow as well, leading up to the start of this game against Baltimore and to talk more specifics about that. But I mean, the Royals rotation sets up perfectly thanks to clinching on Friday night. That's why it was so massive for them to be able to celebrate on Friday, because you didn't have to pitch Cole Reagans. They did pitch Lugo on Saturday, but that was more of a, hey, we don't want to be rusty kind of thing. Give him a couple innings. He's good. He'll pitch in game two of this series against Baltimore. So you get the rotation lined up and you have two all-stars that get a pitch the first two games of the series. You could not have asked for that to be better. And I know you got to be careful with getting greedy about your opponent, but I think we all would have picked the Baltimore Orioles over the Houston Astros if you had a choice. Doesn't mean Baltimore can't win the series. Of course they can. But if you had a pick going to Houston or going to Baltimore, this was the result I wanted. And you don't have to worry about, not that Michael Walker can't do it because he's been phenomenal, but you don't have to worry about having your game one, game two starter set up a little differently.
No. Do we have to get Reagans only if we get to game three? Nope. All of the nonsense. Now, it did cost you your strikeout bet, so sorry. In advance, he fell five strikeouts short.
It was painful, but I will sacrifice my 80-1 bet from this January, if it meant the Royals having a better chance to advance, because that's what it is. By having that layout that way, they've got a much better chance to advance than they would have if the rotation had to be used over the weekend. Instead, they took care of a business later in the weekend to ensure that they go to Baltimore. But on Friday night, they got some help, and that's fine. You don't apologize for that. They got some help. Thank you, Baltimore, at that time. Now we want to beat your ass the next couple days. But thank you for assisting us on Friday night against the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, very thankful. I'm not going to complain about that at all. But it gives actually another generation of fans people to root for in a good way. Look, I grew up at a time when the Royals players I cheered for, I knew were either out the door or weren't really great major league players. They were good major league players, and I just liked them, like Mark Tian, right? Sure. Did he have a 6-year, 7-year MLB career? Yeah. Was he one of the best players in baseball at any time during that? No. I just liked him because I had no one else to cheer for, no postseason to cheer for, so I liked when he went 2-for-4 with a double. These post-game moments, like we were before the hot dog race, like my kids were at the game, obviously, to watch me lose. But my daughter,
put them through that.
We've now watched them enough and watched enough good baseball this year that when we were sitting there in the stands, my daughter, they did the starting lineups gold. And Ruby said, no Vinny Pasquantino today. Like she knew she's looking for the player. Now, look, maybe some good news on Vinny coming up here when we talk about it at 10:30. But to have a new generation of people to cheer for, to have these moments, like this is Bobby Wood Jr. in the post-game locker room living his best life.
Yeah, we got to enjoy today, and then we get ready for October baseball, you know? This is what we dream of. This is what I dreamed of my whole entire life. And so just got to take it one game at a time, one step at a time. Keep doing the little things right and get hot. And so that's what we're going to keep doing and keep enjoying this. We compete each and every day. We're trying to get better each and every day. And yeah, last 2 weeks may not be what we wanted to, but we're here now, and we're going to keep going, and we're going to keep grinding, and we're going to enjoy this ride.
I mean, I just like seeing him, because you heard him like does all the comments. He's like, I used to see people wearing these shirts when I was a kid, and now I get to wear it. And going back to when he signed with Kansas City,
that's the thing.
And the whole he was about winning, and John Sherman and J.J. Piccolo had to convince him that they were about winning. And then the year he signs an extension, $300 million to stay in Kansas City, he gets to go to the postseason in a Royals uniform. He didn't even have to wait that long. Do you know how many Royals players I've watched sit around Mike Sweeney's of the world, play with this team for 6 years, going nowhere, and then had to wait their turn? No, not Bobby.
I think that speaks to the ownership, though, too. I mean, you said it there, what happened post contract, but it was actually pre-signing the extension that they went out. We all know this front office and then ownership allowed them to financially make it happen, to go out and acquire a Seth Lugo, to acquire a Michael Wacha. And remember, they added either option years or paid a little bit more to get those guys to sign to Kansas City. And that was like they had the vision ultimately, and it doesn't always pay off. This time it did. You know, and to what extent it pays off even more than just an appearance, we're going to find out over the next couple of days and hopefully weeks ahead. But ultimately, the goal was, hey, this team won 56 games a year ago. That is a year that nobody wants to go through again. It's unacceptable, frankly. So let's do something about that. And the quickest way in baseball, not always
the most effective, but the quickest
to spend a little bit of money. And they did. And it's not just about, you and I always talk about this, it's not just about like, well, they just need to spend more money. I don't want them to spend a ton of money if it's just going out to spend money to spend money. No,
if it's Jose Guillen, you mean.
Yeah, exactly. Gilmash, et cetera. Like they went out and spent money, but they're
smart.
Development and scouting department, I should say, at the big league level, evaluated Seth Lugo, and they believe that he could be a 200 plus inning guy potentially for them. You know, they believe that Michael Wacha is just a flat out winner everywhere he goes, right? And you know, they believed
in
that.
The year before, they had to trade for Cole Reagans and take a shot there.
Yeah, and then heck, Hunter Renfroe signing. There were moments throughout the season where he was one of their most important players. I'm not saying it was a perfect year for him, but that was an offseason acquisition. As well, you just keep going through. Doesn't mean that every single move worked. Obviously, the Hunter Harvey trade, he's not going to be able to help them in the postseason. That was a bummer, but they have him for next year. You know, there's team control. And Ursig was incredible. So overall, they're still hitting at a pretty damn good rate in the last calendar year and a half in terms of acquiring talent. And yeah, it sells Bobby on an extension. And then now for him to taste the postseason, for him to have this stage, I know we'll talk throughout the show today in the next couple of days about what this stage now means for him, for Salvi, for JJ, for John Sherman.
Mike Trout, right? Where you just everyone talks about how great you are as a regular season player. And then the postseason, you never get a win.
Right. And here in about 15, 20 minutes, we'll talk about Vinny some more as well, because suddenly that's a big surprise in a great way. Yeah. All of a sudden, maybe he's actually going to play in this wild card series. We'll see.
I think something that does stand out, though, is as much as they spent they bought themselves out of their pitching problems. The pitching was really bad last year. They had an over 5 earned run average as a team last year. It's why they lost 56 games. But the pitching is not the only reason they made a transition to 30. Not kidding. 30 games better. Because that's the thing I don't want to lose in any of this. This is only the second team in Major League Baseball history to go from 100 losses into the postseason the following year. Which is nuts. But as much as the pitching staff is not homegrown, the entire damn lineup was. Salvador Perez, Vinny Pasquantino, Michael Massey, Michael Garcia, Bobby Witt Jr., MJ Melendez, Kyle Isbell. The whole lineup. Yeah, there are some dudes sprinkled in. You'd mentioned
Tommy Pham, or
Hunter Renfroe. It's been a little bit more lately since the Vinny injury, admittedly. But the lineup that got them this far was a homegrown lineup. They looked at their offensive players and said, look, we got enough here that we can have a qualified major league lineup. How the hell do we get this team to the postseason and it's pitching? And they took chances on giving extra years of options to Wacha, extra year option to Lugo. These are players that would not have signed in Kansas City had you not given them the ability to get an extra fully year guaranteed on their terms, and you decided to pay them. So, like, you took all this risk just so we get playoff baseball tomorrow, as a reminder, right here on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Plus, you know, you can come watch it with us if you want.
Yeah, we're going to be at Jefferson's tomorrow in Lenexa, the Jefferson's location in Lenexa. We'll be broadcasting live from 10 to 2 leading up to Vern's On Deck show. And then we're all hanging out, everybody from the station hanging out, watching game one and game two. And game three, maybe if necessary, who knows, right? But game one and game two at Jefferson's in Lenexa. So come on out tomorrow. Maybe you take a long late lunch, you know, you got a sales call out of the office, whatever it may be.
Just stop on by. Work.
And of course, listen to the game on 96.5 The Fan. But no, Cody, I mean, I think also they avoided, and this is where I think it benefits them now, like a little bit of a sigh of relief. Yeah, you go out and there's still a much bigger goal in front of you, but
sure,
they could have been, they were teetering towards being the Twins, as in the team that collapsed.
Yeah, what do you think Minnesota sounds like today? Minnesota radio.
Yeah, like collapsed and didn't have a postseason appearance to show for it. This group, of course, was able to snap out of the 7-game losing streak, sweep the Nationals, recover, and then also win a game over this weekend to ensure that they're a 5 seed and go to Baltimore instead of Houston. So they've got some wins under their belt. You know, they don't have zero momentum heading in the postseason like people thought they were going to have. So you get in and you avoid the epic collapse, which would have really tarnished what had been a great regular season bounce back from winning 56 games. So that's the other part that I think benefits them now. Of course, there's guys are playing in the biggest baseball games of their career tomorrow afternoon. Sure. That is still true.
Almost every player on the Royals except for Waka.
Basically, yeah, and Salvi. Yeah, I mean, that's basically
other
it. Yeah.
Other than those two players, every single one of them is playing in the single biggest baseball game of their life.
Right, yeah. Maybe Tommy Pham, there's an argument to me. Other than that, other than that, that's it. You're right. And so I think while the pressure is still there, it's not the worry about, you know, failure or oh my gosh, yeah, are we really going to choke? That is not any, not, it's a whole new season, man. And October is special. The reason why we love it so much, because crazy things happen. It doesn't matter what seed you are.
The NFL playoffs, not the NBA playoffs.
We all know here locally. I mean, we got the 10-year anniversary of the wild card game tonight, by the way, if you want to catch the end of that, that's on this station tonight, this evening, we're going to play
innings
that Royals A's innings 8 through 12. But we also saw last year the Arizona Diamondbacks go from the last team in a wild card. Yeah, they didn't win the World Series, but they got to a World Series against the Rangers. So it doesn't matter what your seed is, man. In this format, with the way it works with this pitching staff, and yes, the way they can set up the rotation, they absolutely got a chance to go on a run.
I think that they, more than any team in the entire playoffs, because of the 100 losses last year, because people view it as... they limped into the playoffs, even though, again, I would argue that point, but that's not the point of the comment. But because of all of that, I think that this is exactly like 2014 in one big way. Nobody expects them to do anything. There's absolutely no pressure on the Royals to go on some magical World Series run. No baseball commentator. People aren't talking about it here like that's the case. It's a pretty low pressure environment for a team in the playoffs. I know they feel internal pressure. They don't feel that way about their team. They feel like they're going to do it. But from the outside, there aren't people being like, here come the Royals. You got to go into this thing as the underdog, no weight on your shoulders. Imagine how you're going to feel when you're the Yankees in the following series. And let's just say, hypothetically, the Royals win this series and go take on the Yankees. Who do you think has pressure to win that one? Who's won a World Series more recently than the Yankees?
Well, the Yankees. You always have pressure there. So there, I mean, Aaron Boone's job is on the line, all that kind of stuff, if you get to that point in time. So you get, that's the thing. If you can get through Baltimore, that's the first task. And then, you would go to New York if that's actually what happens. But it's great to have playoff baseball once again in Kansas City tomorrow. That's right. Tomorrow it gets going, man. And we will talk about Vinny Pasquantino here in about 15 minutes because, one, he was great in the clubhouse and the locker room celebration.
Per usual.
But you could see the smile on his face. You could see how and hear how he was answering. And then JJ's comments over the weekend. And JJ Bacola will join us tomorrow. And we will find out tomorrow at some point, maybe with us on the air. That'd be nice. Otherwise, when the roster comes out, if Vinny is actually going to play, and something that none of us thought really was possible. Even the general manager didn't really think this was a scenario that could come where they have to actually make a decision on this AL wildcard roster involving Vinny based off the rehab that he's gone through. So we'll get to that in about 15 minutes. I do want to talk Chiefs just for a little bit here. We'll get right back into the Royals. Of course, the Chiefs are 4-0. That's the most important thing. But they suffer.
Today?
They suffer. Well, yes, winning a football game is the most important. That's the goal. Yeah. But unfortunately,
I don't know about today.
Unfortunately, the story is Rashee Rice. We'll get confirmation from Andy at noon today when you hear him exclusively on 96.5 The Fan.
You're home for the Chiefs?
You're home for the Chiefs, but he is likely done. Rashee Rice is for the season. Multiple reports that he has a ACL injury. Ugh. Absolutely brutal. Also, just on a fluky type of play. Bad interception from Mahomes. He's trying to run back. Both of them are trying to make a tackle.
Rashee makes the great strip to actually force the fumble.
Yeah, Mahomes is trying to get out of the way a little bit, and unfortunately collides with the knee of Rashee Rice, and you saw, everybody saw it, right? We all saw what the knee did. And that's just a bummer because he's the number one receiver for this team, obviously, was having a great start to his second year in the league. And there are real consequences. Like there's the player himself, and then there's real consequences for this offense, where right now they are back in that 13th points per game in the NFL, which is right around where they were a year ago. This offense, wide receiver-wise, you can make a strong case. They are in a worse spot, actually, than even a year ago.
Year they had Rashee Rice.
Isaiah Pacheco is out for 7 more weeks. Rashee Rice is now out. Hollywood Brown maybe comes back late in the season. So right now, your rookie, Xavier Worthy, is your number one wide receiver. And I like the kid a lot. He had a great touchdown. I don't know if he's the route runner that Rashee Rice was even last year.
Yeah. Look, there's no way to sugarcoat this. It absolutely is worse than last year's for that reason. Because you could say, hey, it's the same. Sky Moore, McColl, all the dudes, and then a rookie wide receiver is your number one. It was that way last year with Rashee Rice. It will now be this way. We all agree, right? Xavier Worthy is their number one wide receiver
now.
Like it or not.
Now, Justin Watson and Juju are going to be playing a lot here in the next couple of weeks. We'll talk about other options outside the organization later in the show. I think it's early for that because it's week 4. Teams don't just punt and trade everybody away after 4 weeks in the NFL.
But this is a devastating injury for the things that we brought up all offseason. We spent 4 consecutive months talking about what are the things that stop teams from winning 3 in a row. No one's ever done it in the NFL. Why? Why is it not possible in this sport? And it is typically 2 things. It is either you run out of money, your quarterback becomes too expensive, you let all your good players go, and then eventually the roster isn't caught up for when the winning can take place again. That actually wasn't the problem with the Chiefs. They got Chris Jones back. They've got a lot of some of their better players are young or on their rookie deals or on the very early years of extension. So it's like, cool, you lost Tyreek Hill. Cap didn't stop you from winning 2 in a row. Problem solved. Injuries is the other one. And even though they are 4-0, the only undefeated team in the AFC, this is the worst I have felt in 6 months since they won the Super Bowl. This is the day that I feel the worst about their ability to three-peat in this entire time. This day, today, is the worst I felt about their ability to repeat as a champion again, because without Rashee Rice, what is this off? No Pacheco, no Hollywood, no Rice. Like, I'm counting on a rookie wide receiver and Justin Watson. I've never felt worse about their odds. Not saying 0.
Yeah.
But I've never felt worse.
The reason why it's not is, I don't know if you agree. It's not doomsday. One is because the defense is still playing at an elite level. I think heading into the season, we wondered if the defense would take a decent step back. That hasn't happened. The defense is carrying this team. We got to stop acting like it's the shoe is going to drop and the defense is just going to fall apart. It's not. Yeah. Sorry. It's not. For
doesn't
those
seem
who,
like it, no.
Steve Spagnuolo and this defense, this is who they are. So that's why I don't think it's doomsday. The other part of it is eventually Pacheco is coming back and Kareem Hunt looked like Kareem Hunt, not 29-year-old Kareem Hunt. He looked like 24-year-old Kareem Hunt yesterday.
He looked good.
We're going to talk about him more individually. I think he's the number one running back for this team until Pacheco is back after the fumbles from Carson Steele. So that gives me a little bit more faith. But it is going to be a grind and a struggle on offense. It is going to look a lot like last season for a bit. At some point closer to the trade deadline, do I think that there's an opportunity for them to go do something? Sure. But that's not happening tomorrow. That's not happening today. You can pick whoever you want on the wish list. Teams, not even through 4 weeks, there's still games tonight. So we're not even through 4 weeks. Teams, even though we all think the Browns are done or the Tennessee Titans are done, teams don't usually trade their top wide receivers 4 weeks into the season. So it's going to be a couple weeks, even if you can agree on a trade. And who wants to help out the Chiefs? We shall see. That's a conversation we'll get to later, I know. They're in a bad spot with the receiving room. But I have more faith today in terms of how do they replace it than I did 72 hours ago. Travis Kelce looked like Travis Kelce again. Kareem Hunt looked really, really good. That gives me a little bit more confidence that they can withstand this for a little bit. Now, as far as winning the Super Bowl, I'm not changing from something you and I said week one.
I'll never say they can't.
You and I said week one. Other than Patrick Mahomes getting hurt, there's nothing that can happen that you're going to be able to tell me 3-4 weeks in the season and tell me, oh, they can't win now. And here we are. Here we are. So I don't want to hear, and I'm the same for you, but I don't want to hear that they can't win the Super Bowl because of this. I call BS on that. There's too much talent still. The defense is playing too damn well for that to be the case. But yeah, they've got a problem. But boy, oh boy, they had a problem last year, and they were able to figure it out.
The best news out of yesterday was the defense, specifically what you mentioned, because, look, they were down 10-0 because the Chiefs' offense put them in two miserable spots, and then the Chiefs' defense clamped down in a way in which the Chargers couldn't breathe for the rest of the game. And the one drive of the Chargers actually managed to scrape some stuff together, put themselves down on the field. Harbaugh bombed it. Harbaugh got into 4th-and-1, burned a timeout, which, oh, by the way, he did need at the end of the game to give himself a chance at even trying to come back, then called a play that was never going to be successful against the Chiefs defense because he rolled Herbert out with two backup tackles and all those. The defense is still working. Look, I got questions about the pass rush, which we can get to later in the week, but the defense is still fundamentally, absolutely holding its own, doing its job. This goes back to the same thing. If I were the Chargers and I woke up this morning, do you know how sick you would feel? They didn't have their number two wide receiver, didn't have their number one running back. Sure, we have injuries too. Then in the first quarter, they lose their starting wide receiver, a guy who's potentially emerging as a star wide receiver in the league. So you're like, oh my God. And we're up 10-0 in the first quarter and you never scored another point again. Embarrassing.
When they settled for a field goal and it wasn't 14-0 and it was only 10-0. That's when I knew the Chiefs were still winning. I'm serious. Like when they didn't get the touchdown to capitalize and they settled for a field goal, I'm like, okay, take a deep breath. Like we just seen this happen many, many times. So.
And then they immediately hit that long bomb to Xavier Worthy and everything changed a little bit. But yeah, I don't think there's any way to sugarcoat. Like you said, I would never come in here and say the Chiefs have no chance to win the Super Bowl. I've learned that lesson too many times. But let's just say everything's in a scale of 100. And right after they won two, I was like 90% chance they're winning the Super Bowl. And then by the time the season started, because I had questions about the guards and they had lost Hollywood Brown, I was at like 70%, which is still pretty good odds. I'm like 50, 40. I mean, my percentage went way down because the offense is, and we can talk about Mahomes in a minute, it ain't right. And then in addition to that, they've now lost their number one weapon on offense. And so pretending like that has no impact.
No, I'm not pretending it doesn't have any impact. I hear you. Everything you said is true. But also, man, look at the rest of the league.
They are 4-0.
Look at the rest of the, I mean, we just watched last night a Buffalo Bills team that was 3-0. Losing to the Baltimore Ravens in a pretty big way.
Yeah.
I think we called that game on Friday, by the way. We said Baltimore was winning. So like that's the NFL in 2024. The Chiefs are the last unbeaten team in the AFC. And yeah, they have flaws. They've got issues now with the injuries. Go across the entire league.
Most teams.
I mean, it is. So that's why it feels less concerning this year as well. Because tell me who looks dominant right now in the NFL. People have had a dominant week. Who looks dominant across 4 weeks? No. Nobody.
If you tell me the undefeated teams right now and then tell me the quarterbacks of the other undefeated teams, not named the Chiefs, well, then I don't care. It's Geno Smith and Sam Darnold.
They're on the NFC side. I don't care.
Well, and also, like, if I saw them in the Super Bowl, I'll be honest. There is no – Sam Darnold could continue to play like this the rest of the year, win the MVP. And if it comes down to the Chiefs and Sam Darnold in the Super Bowl to win it all, Sam Darnold's not going to get me quaking in my boots. The same as I treated Jimmy G or Brock Purdy or any of these others. I'm glad you got a good team around you. I'm glad you've got a really good coach. But if it comes down to a playoff game and your quarterback, Sam Darnold, and ours is Patrick Mahomes, I don't care. Oh no. It's that embodiment of that LeBron meme. You know what I'm talking about?
It's
that.
The NFC, I mean, this is why, like, Jaden Daniels of the Commanders are playing great. And wow, they might have a stud. I'm glad he's in the NFC. Like, I don't care. I don't have to worry about that until the Super Bowl. That's where we're at.
Exactly.
It's what are the AFC? Who's going to prevent you from getting to the Super Bowl? If you get to the Super Bowl, both teams are obviously playing good football. Both quarterbacks are playing great. I know I get your comment about Darnold and that, but if Darnold's in the Super Bowl, he's obviously playing really well, right? So worry about that then. We'll get back to the Chiefs a little bit later on, but up next here on Cody and Gold, we talk a little bit about our guy, Vinny Pasquantino, who suddenly might actually be playing in the postseason. And not waiting for the ALCS, as in for the wild card round. We'll get to that next.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Back here, Cody and Gold on a Monday, 913-586-7965. That's the Jay Southland Toserver's text line, also the phone line, as we're talking Royals baseball. Playoff baseball back here on 96.5 The Fan tomorrow afternoon. Vern's on deck show at 2 o'clock. The Royals, of course, in the 3 o'clock hour, taking on the Baltimore Orioles. Game one of one of the AL wildcard series, a best of three series. Cole Reagans on the bump. We'll talk some more about Patrick Mahomes in about 15 minutes or so. But one thing that I didn't think was possible, and it sounds like even maybe J.J. Piccolo didn't think was all that possible, is the possibility of Vinny Pasquantino, after all this, the broken thumb, that a month later, it'll be a month basically by the time we get to tomorrow, a month later, he has a real chance to play. And boy, by the way he was talking, and we'll play it in the clubhouse, and the way the organization is kind of talking, Ryan Lefevre was talking yesterday, I think he's going to be in the lineup, man. If everything goes well today, listen to Q. This was Q on MLB Network Radio. I think this was Saturday afternoon, if I'm not mistaken. Listen to him talking about Vinny's recovery.
Vinny does have a chance. Yes, he had live at bats yesterday against Will Smith and Steven Cruz, which, you know, we were able to do on the field here yesterday. We have another one scheduled for tomorrow, wherever we go. And if everything checks out with that, assuming Tuesday morning he wakes up okay, there is a chance that he can be on the roster. It's absolutely remarkable what he's done. It's crazy to watch, watch him in the cage and how hard he's worked and all the work that Jeff Blum and the medical guys have put in with him. It's just absolutely amazing. As far as rotation, yeah, we know what we're going to do. By clinch and Friday, we were able to set it up the best we could. So we'll have Reagan, Lugo, and Waka set up for the three games, whoever we're playing.
So that was Q on Sunday on MLB Network Radio talking about Vinny. I mean, I think the recovery is remarkable.
It was supposed to be 6 weeks on the early end. I want to remind people, it has not even technically been four. He hasn't even made it to 4 full weeks recovering from this injury. And we were talking 6 to 8 weeks is the original timeline. Hell, I was talking to people a week ago, and this seemed like a long shot. Somebody brought it up last Tuesday. Golden, I'm like, I don't know, man. Everyone I'm talking to is like, that doesn't seem like a realistic timeline for anyone to come back from a broken bone. Reminder, this isn't like a hamstring that just starts feeling better. This is a bone. It has to heal. Like, that's how this was supposed to work. And apparently, Vinny's Wolverine. And I'll be honest, if he is comfortable enough to stand in against a live hitter and take swings, put his ass in the lineup.
Well, I think
there's absolutely no risk right now in putting Vinny in there, because even if he's out of rhythm, out of sync, doesn't have quite the same pop, I can still promise you he's an upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
He is definitely an upgrade over any of the scenarios in which he still has less power or is seeing the ball less well because of the normal things, right? Time off from an energy or injury. I can't wait for the possibility. I didn't even think this was possible.
Well, everybody's talking about ALCS. And then you're like, okay, maybe if he's progressing well, ALDS. And I guess that is still a potential possibility. We'll see tomorrow with the roster. I guess if something today changed, there is still a percentage there that would have them hold him out for another couple days. And then it would require, of course, the Royals winning a wild card. But how awesome is this? Vinny was put on the IL August 30th. Today's September 30th.
He had the surgery September 6th, I think.
Something like that, because the swelling had to go down or whatever it was. He flew back.
But.
So he has that surgery. And, you know, give him a ton of credit, because in that press conference at the time, he said, you know, like, I'm not setting a timeline, but I don't think my season's done. And we're like, okay, that's an optimistic thing. And I don't doubt that you're going to work hard. And yeah, maybe if they get to the ALCS, but the wild card round starts tomorrow. And there's I'm almost expecting him now to be in the lineup. That's how quickly it shifted in the last couple of days. And you got a sense also in the clubhouse when he was talking, he had a smirk on his face.
How
he wouldn't answer.
He
like
was.
He's in a great mood, not just because they clinched, but because I think he thinks he's playing tomorrow. Listen to Vinny. This was from Bally in the clubhouse.
I can't describe it. It's unbelievable. Sorry, almost cussed there.
Oh, I know. I saw good restraint. Great catch. You saw these growing up, these celebrations. Now you're a part of it.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, what a great season so far. You know, we're going to work to not make this this over in a week or whatever it is. So we're hoping we got a lot more season. We're really excited. We're going to celebrate tonight. We're going to have a great weekend, and we're going to get ready for wherever we're going on Tuesday.
I know how hard you're working. I'm not asking for a timetable, but how badly you want a taste of this?
No timetable. I don't got anything. I'm progressing. I'm progressing the way the doctors have told me. That's all I really got. The doctors have told me that I'm progressing well. Sam Mellinger's right here to make sure I don't say anything stupid. And, that's what I got. Cheers, Kansas City.
So that was Vinny.
That was maybe my favorite clip of the entire postgame celebration was Vinny.
And then he sent out a tweet after that a little bit later in the night, and it was like the how do you describe that?
Like the sly,
like the honoree, like the and with the
he deleted it. Felt a little bad for drunk texting.
Perhaps there was a little alcohol involved. Who knows? But the fact that this is a real conversation we're having, that like I think he's playing and you think he's playing, this conversation existing is a credit to him. In his rehab, and yeah, of course, I think we're all thrilled for him individually, let alone what it can mean for this team, which is a great thing. But individually, I mean, he's had almost 100 RBI season, and then to at the end of the year, maybe not have a chance to play with your guys in the postseason. That sucks. And so now he's got a chance. And what you described there about where this lineup is at, it is so easy. We saw the Tigers do it against them, to navigate this lineup right now when he's not in there.
You just avoid two guys.
He's in the lineup, even if he is 80% of what he was because of timing and everything. It instantly gives Bobby a better chance at succeeding and being a weapon. It instantly makes Salvi more dangerous. That's the beautiful thing about what they might have, and we won't know until tomorrow morning when the playoff roster is official for the wild card series. Remember, each round, right, they can reset it. So let's.
If he's not available for the wild card, he still could be available for the
DS. All of a sudden, they're like, you know what? We just not close enough to make this happen. Well, then even more incentive to go out there and win one for win a series for him so that he can be available for the ALDS. But it'll be tomorrow, 4.5, 5 weeks since the actual injury, but not the surgery.
Genuinely happy for the person. So like the baseball stuff too, but like sometimes we do this business and like you stop thinking about athletes as people. I think people stop treating athletes as people sometimes because they become these figures on the field that you're used to. But he's been a good friend of the show, and he was, you know, he was finally having the season after the injury where he had to sit on his ass and watch his team try to grind through it without him. He got on the field in March, in February, he's on video saying, we have expectations now and we expect to win and this team is going to surprise some people, and even said things like, this will be one of the biggest turnarounds in MLB history. He said that. He predicted it correctly. And up until a month ago, he was a man at the forefront of responsibility, right? One of the six most important players on the Royals for helping them get there. And then a freak injury, similar to the Rashee Rice one yesterday.
How weird is that? They both felt the same. It felt Urseg Vinny injury felt like Mahomes Rice injury.
Yeah, they didn't do anything connected. Wrong, and all of a sudden they ended up hurt. And we just start thinking like, God, if there's any chance he's going to make it, it's the longest of long shots, and damn, I feel terrible, and this is no way for someone's season to end. And now you're telling me there's a chance he can play on Tuesday? Before I even factor in the baseball stuff, incredible.
Have him DH in the lineup tomorrow would be awesome. It would be really, really cool to see. And then, as we said to start the show, what's fun about October is crazy things happen. It doesn't matter what seed you are. Special memories are made, and legacies are created, all this kind of stuff. And I'll tell you, man, if he's in the lineup as a DH tomorrow and plays in the series, because I have no other logic behind it other than it's playoff baseball, I fully expect, and I will maybe even put some money on it, that he either hits a home run or comes up with a huge hit. It's just the way playoff baseball works. Baseball creates these unbelievable storylines in the postseason. Guy's out for a month, didn't think he'd recover. All of a sudden, he's in the lineup, and watch him come up with a massive hit on Tuesday. Like, I can see that. We can all see that coming, right?
I mean, Kirk Gibson does exist for a damn reason. This will be a Kirk Gibson moment. Yeah. If Vinny Pasquantino in Game 3 of the wild card series slugs a homer to help the Royals advance to the ALDS, that's his Kirk Gibson. I know it's not the World Series, but it's the same thing. Yeah. But the joy of his moment thereafter, I don't know how long he had been without his shirt. He's the only guy without a shirt, seemingly. Everyone else had a shirt on.
I think there was like three Vinny. Players that didn't. I think it was Vinny, MJ, and one other player. Everybody else was wearing the, October Ready? I guess
October Ready. Yeah, October Have Ready. You gone to go buy a plaster yet?
Okay, I'm glad you brought this up. And maybe, maybe this speaks to what you and I discussed last week.
We're spoiled.
Well, not just spoiled, but like still it doesn't, even today,
feel real.
Doesn't feel the same as 14 and 15. And we've talked about the reasons for that. There's a lot of reasons for it. And maybe it'll take them winning a wild card series to get to that level. But the team store was open till midnight on Friday night, the Royals team store. And I think on Saturday they were open and they were pretty busy and they had some merchandise. But someone even just a minute or so ago texted in 913-586-7965. And someone said, that they've been to 4 stores this morning and nobody has Royals playoff gear. Now, I don't know which stores they went to. He says, this is ridiculous. When they clinched in 14, maybe I'm off. Someone can remind me. I swear I was able to go at that night to like pick your play. Rally House Academy,
whatever. 2 in the morning if you wanted it.
And that didn't happen on Friday. At the team store, it did. But trust me, you're asking, did I get a shirt yet? I have not, Cody. I was busy this weekend. Friday night, I looked to see if our friends at Rally House and others were open. They were not. So I don't know. I'm imagining if you go to Rally House today, they probably have it. But I will get an October Ready shirt. That's the plan after the show today, to get one for our watch party tomorrow. I would like to have one. And it's been a decade. Hello. Let's get it. It's time for a new hoodie. It's time for a new shirt that says October Ready. Worry about hopefully buying some other shirts later on in the month if they get there. But either way, I want an October Ready. I'm trying to decide hoodie or t-shirt. I don't know, man.
I don't know. Like, this is the only thing that bumps me out about the... It's supposed to be really hot in Kansas City this week. Nonsense. It's playoff baseball.
You want 50s.
This is the incorrect weather for what's... This is a stupid complaint, but I'm dead serious. It bothers me so much. This is the incorrect weather for the sporting event I'm getting ready to watch. I shouldn't be able to go to our watch party tomorrow at Jefferson's in Lenexa. If you want to come watch the baseball game with everyone here on 96.5 The Fan, we'll be out at Jefferson's in Lenexa. I shouldn't be able to go in shorts and a t-shirt to watch that game. I should be in a hoodie.
I hear you.
I should be in jeans. The weather should match playoff baseball, damn it.
I know what you're saying. That'll happen later in October. If they get further in the ALDS, ALCS, I think we get that. I think there's a lot of people that are like, hey, it's great that it's nice weather. We all know in order to get a home game back here in Kansas City, they got to get to the ALDS. And the other part that speaks to it, I mean, right now you can go on the Royals website. Like, you want tickets for the ALDS? Go right on right now and just buy them. No problem. Like,
still?
I checked last night. I have not checked this morning. That also speaks to the difference.
I just think winning changes things, too. Maybe this is a longer conversation for a different day, but winning changes things. In 2014, nobody in this town had won anything important in 3 decades. Right. 3 decades was the last time somebody had won anything important in this town. And when they were so thirsty for, other than sporting win an MLS title, someone's going to point that out, they always do it in 13. But, like, of the major sports.
Yeah, I hear you.
They hadn't done it. And so they were so thirsty for it. It was just a different time. And people mentioned, like, maybe COVID has an effect and people back and a million other things that happened in life after this.
We've had this conversation so many times. Yeah, I mean, there's not just one reason people bring up the TV situation.
I think that's
part of it and all that. But in terms of the buy-in for the team, throughout the year, there was plenty of skepticism. And I get it. I think warranted at times. Other times, I think you were just, like, not enjoying the moment enough.
Yeah.
But there was times where it was warranted. And now that they're in, like, how many texts did we get leading up the last month and a half? Like, who cares if they make it? They can't win anyway. Like, I would hope that's not your attitude now. This team, number one, they did make it. So I don't know why the skepticism is still there. They're playing Baltimore, who has not played great baseball either. Their rotation is set up perfectly. They being the Royals with Reagans and Lugo and then Walk if necessary. They might be getting, maybe, Vinny Pasquantino, a basically 100 RBI guy back. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no reason not to be optimistic heading into this series.
No. I feel great about it going into it because, again, in a 3-game series, the Royals rotation gets its biggest advantage. And if all of a sudden Vinny's back, then we're having a whole different conversation. Back to the Chiefs, I guess, for just a minute. Then we'll be right back to the Royals. Don't worry. Pretty much like a 50-50 split today, if you want to know the truth. Because the Chiefs are 4-0 and have continued to win games, even though they're without their number one wide receiver, number two wide receiver, and number one running back, two of which probably for the entire season, and one of which, I don't know, maybe December, we'll see Pacheco kick back through. I think I'm in the minority. Yesterday, Patrick Mahomes made that pick that eventually led to the Rashee Rice injury, and I was like, oh my God, we're doing this again. Missed a couple throws, and I was like, I can't believe this. And while there were a few moments in this game in which I think he left a clean pocket a little too early, something he's been guilty of the rest of his career, I, for the first time all season, personally thought Mahomes started to show a couple of the things that look more like Mahomes. Whether it's that throw to Travis Kelce, getting the third down completion that end the game, a couple of things there where I'm like, okay, maybe a little bit, because I understand the concerns still where are, what the hell, he doesn't look like Mahomes still. Like, what is still going on with this offense and what's going on with him? And now, Gold, I have to assume that it's not going to look better, that he's without his top players.
Yeah, this offense without Rashee Rice, I mean, at some point in time, they maybe go and add somebody, but until then, yeah, it's going to be a struggle. In terms of Mahomes individually, he still has not played well. Watching yesterday, it became more and more evident that the conversation we had a year ago is back and with him. And it is, to me, the offensive line trust issue again. And maybe you guys disagree. You can let me know, 913-586-7965. But watching that game, especially early, I think there were times where he left the pocket when he didn't have to leave the pocket. And I know there's a balance because we've talked with Nate Taylor, and it's like, hey, he needs to be on the move more. That's when he's so effective. But also, I thought there were a few times where he bailed
started
on the pocket.
Too early.
Where I thought if he just steps up, right? And to me, why is that happening? To me, that tells me you don't. And this was also right after a couple sacks early in the game. This, to me, was not trusting. There's also a time where very rarely in Mahomes' time does a defensive coordinator confuse him on a blitz in disguise. And they got him a couple times yesterday.
Especially in that one that kicked him out of field goal range.
Off the edge or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that is part of it. That there's maybe a little bit of a lack of trust in the O-line and he's bailing. There's also just natural frustration when you're you're pressing a little bit. All that has contributed to what has not been a sharp start to the season for Patrick Mahomes. He's acknowledged it multiple times already. And then, yes, now that you're losing your number, let's be honest, so far your number one weapon in this offense is now gone.
And you've already changed left tackles, number one and number two wide receiver, and that. But did you, I thought I might be alone in this because I was thinking it about the third quarter. Did you see a few more signs of life from Mahomes in this game than the first three? Because I saw some flashes.
No, I think the only reason
I thought
you
maybe
might,
I was just alone on that. There were just a couple throws. I'm like,
might not
maybe.
Be alone. I don't know if I'm with you, but doesn't mean you're alone. There's probably plenty of people listening that agree with you. I would say maybe why what you're talking about, how I perceived it was, hey, this time around it was because he was connected with Travis Kelce. That's why it felt that way.
And that might be
it. And part of what we acknowledged about Kelce's slower start, which got overblown anyway nationally. Was that
plenty of targets now.
Some of that, yes, he is. Some of that was Patrick Mahomes not playing well, impacting Travis Kelce's game. Some of that was that Rashee Rice was getting open consistently. That was the option. Well, in this game, they lose Rice early, and now probably for the season, it looks like we'll get official confirmation at noon today with Andy coming up on 96.5 The Fan. But now Travis is clearly the primary option in the offense. And so he had to step up, and credit Travis, he did. That looked like classic, vintage, whatever phrase you want to use, Travis Kelce yesterday. That's what we've come to expect, and you saw that, which was a big positive for me because as we were discussing the challenges they're going to have, Travis has to play at that level, and he stepped up for this one game at least, and there's no reason to believe that he can't keep doing that.
At this point, for this offense to return to a top 10 offense, which it was for the first few weeks technically, even though it seemed like they were slightly off, they've fallen more to league average, right where they were last year, 13th, 14th, 15th, somewhere in that range. For them to actually be a top 10 offense this year, really two things have to occur for sure. Xavier Worthy has to prove into a reliable, let's say not like every team's best one, but like a reliable, everyday 60-plus yard receiver, like a reliable NFL receiver, even though he's only in game 5 of his rookie season. And Travis Kelce has to be like playoff Travis. He's got to be playoff Travis or 2022 Travis or whatever version of Travis Kelce you want to envision in your mind. He has to turn back the clock and look like old Travis Kelce the rest of the way if they're going to be a top 10 offense. Now, I'm saying they can be a 15th best offense and still win a lot of games because of what the defense has been so far this year. And again, this is why I would feel so bad. Like, if I'm the stupid division, never knows how to take advantage of anything. If I pointed out before the season started the injuries the Chiefs would have, by week 4, Gold, if I had told you August 15th that by week 4 the Chiefs would have no number one, no number two wide receiver and be without Isaiah Pacheco for at least 8 more weeks.
Probably wouldn't have thought they're 4-0.
No, and you would have thought that somebody else in the division would have made a legitimate threat to them. But because, I mean, I don't know if you saw Bo Nix's stat line for a little bit yesterday.
Negative 9 yards.
There was at a time yesterday when he was, the one I remembered at like the third quarter was 7 of 14 for negative 7 yards. Do you know how impossible that is? 7 of 14 for negative 7 yards? I didn't even know you could technically do that. Like, I wasn't even sure that was possible, but apparently it is. You can complete 7 passes for
negative 7 yards. And they won. The Broncos beat the Jets. Yes, they definitely did.
No one's a threat.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the Mahomes stuff, it's just a combination of a lot of things. I think it's a little lack of trust in the O-line. I think there's a little bit of pressing. Someone will say, hey, he's not seeing guys open. I think some of that goes back to the O-line, lack of trust.
So.
Where, you know, the double clutching a pass. Some of that, like,
I thought he missed Carson Steele on one where he did get lazy with the mechanics and he just kind of like flipped it with his arm rather than set his feet, even though he had time. Like, there is still plenty of that in there. I just thought I saw a couple more throws I did not see weeks 1 through 3.
There's not many things I think you can definitively say after 4 games because it's a long season. The one thing is obviously clear. It's a duh statement now because of the injuries. The talk, I said it, you said it as well, heading into week 1, after week 1 was like, hey, this Chiefs offense is going to be back to being top 5. Obviously, we can definitively say that is not happening in 2024. Duh. That's just not.
It could have been plausible still if they had both their wide receivers and their running back. But they don't.
That's not a capability with this current offense.
Correct.
And what is ultimately probably going to be the offense for much of the year. Now, does that mean that they still aren't going to be a problem for teams at times? Of course. And thank goodness this defense is continuing to play at virtually the same level they were towards the back half of last year and all year and kind of carrying this team. That was something we looked at the Patriots dynasty for multiple years.
Yeah.
There were a few years where Tom Brady, that offense wasn't the best. Their defense carried them. That's part of how this works. You're not going to win the same way every time throughout a dynasty, and the Chiefs are going to have to win a little bit more like last year again, it looks like. At this time, it's because of injuries. Last year, they just didn't have the personnel. They don't have the personnel now because of injuries.
Yes.
And in Kareem Hunt, we're going to talk about during the Chiefs Red F Hour, but he's one reason why I feel not as bad today, because I think during this Pacheco absence, he might be kind of a huge weapon that they're going to have that we didn't think they had a week ago.
Yeah, I'm worried about it, obviously, and what their offense can do, but I also won't care. Like, you know, people pointed this out about Tom Brady, and rightfully so. All the Super Bowls he won, he had a top-five defense the entire time. Last year was the first time Mahomes really had that, so okay.
We're just getting started here on a Monday on your home for the Chiefs, your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan up next. Let's take a look, just initial thoughts on the Royals and Orioles. We all know there's some good memories from that 2014 run that the Royals had as well, so we'll do that coming up next on Cody and Gold.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.